If you're just joining us, you're listening to the third episode of the spring 2014 season of Assignment Radio, and I'm your host, Haley Thornton. Customers have more choice than ever, with national retailers, local stores, and now internet shopping. Assignment Radio's Madeline Stebbins examines the effect of local shopping in Norman.
The Shop Local movement has gained momentum the last few years, but beyond the hype, past the fad, does shopping local really matter?
Up to three times as much of the money stays in your community when you spend it with a local and independent business, as opposed to a big box or a franchise.
Bryce Bandy is one of the founders of Keep It Local OK, an Oklahoma City company designed to publicize local businesses. Keep It Local OK sells membership cards, and local businesses, shops, and restaurants offer discounts or deals to the cardholders.
How we see it is we give people the tools and the incentives to spend money locally. Not only that, but also show them the best places to eat and shop and services to use here in Oklahoma.
Research tends to show that spending money in your own city and at businesses owned locally can make a big difference. A study done in 2012 in Salt Lake City, a city about the same size as the Oklahoma City Metro, shows that local stores return more than half of their revenue to the local economy, and restaurants return nearly 79%. National chains return less than half of what local businesses do. For stores, it's less than 15%, and for restaurants, it's just over 30%. Don Wood is the director of the Norman Economic Development Coalition. He works to keep Norman businesses happy and productive.
We work on product improvement, and our product is Norman. So anything we can do to help make Norman a better place, more attractive place for people to come to, then we do that.
Wood says that Norman benefits from out-of-state employers, but its locally owned businesses bring more than just jobs to the table.
There's a certain passion that the young entrepreneur has at starting their company and growing their company, and there's a passion that they have for the community that the other companies that come in from outside probably never get. They don't have that same passion, that same drive to help make the community successful at the same time.
Wood says consumers might not realize it, but frequenting a local store has a bigger effect than just supporting the family that owns that business.
And they're employing people, and those could be your neighbors, could be people in your church, could be, you know, just people you see around the community that actually have jobs because you're spending your dollars in the community. Those dollars kind of circulate through the community, and they're spent with another business and another business and another business, and it really has a multiplier effect.
There are two kinds of shopping local: shopping at stores owned by people in the community and shopping at stores in town, no matter who owns them. Locally owned businesses get most of the shop local attention, but Don Wood says keeping your money within city limits is just as important.
The way Oklahoma law is set up, the biggest generator of revenues to our local government is sales tax. So if you're spending your dollars in a local store, then that local store is paying sales tax, and that's what pays for firemen and policemen and street repairs and parks and recs and all the different things that we expect our city to do. It's kind of hard to expect the city to do a lot for you when you go spend all your dollars outside of Norman.
There are benefits to both kinds of shopping local, and they have one thing in common. Local stores need local customers. And for Don Wood and others, buying local is more than just a trend. It's becoming a way of life.
It's a no-brainer.
For Assignment Radio, I'm Madeline Stebbins.
Shopping local can keep money in your community, but it can also encourage a healthier lifestyle. I examined one of today's trendiest diets, the paleo diet.
There is a fad diet for all generations.
I'd probably do the low-fat, because you need carbs.
I've tried a Mediterranean diet.
Atkins. I did try that.
Jessica Simpson will be strutting straight back to Weight Watchers.
They can jumpstart a healthy lifestyle, become an unhealthy obsession, or make no difference at all.
The paleo diet. Now, followers say they are shedding drastic amounts of weight and are warding off debilitating diseases.
As the name suggests, the paleo diet takes you back to caveman days. No preservatives, no processed grains, and no fast food at all.
From my point of view, it's a very like nutritious, back to kind of like natural way of eating, which is that's why the certain foods are included. And I've read a lot of books and done a lot of research into it. And so it's really just about eating what's best for your body.
Emily Groff has followed the paleo diet for 9 months. She plans her whole day around the restrictions and rules of the diet.
no wheat or corn or anything like that. So like bread, tortillas, cereals, oatmeal, no processed foods, like obviously like no Doritos, and then no dairy, so milk and yogurt. I think more of like what I can eat, which is like nuts, fruits, vegetables, lean meats.
The biggest argument against the paleo diet is the lack of whole grains. But Groff says the way grains are processed now makes them worse for you.
If you eat 2 pieces of whole wheat bread, it raises your blood sugar as much as eating 2 spoonfuls of plain sugar. And so I was kind of like, what? And so it like is just things like that that I was like, I never even like thought to think about the science behind it. And it talks about how what we ate back then wasn't processed. And that's a big part of like why there's like why certain foods, it's not that like wheat is necessarily bad.
U.S. News and World Report ranked the paleo diet near the bottom of its 2014 rankings of the best diets overall. The survey looked at how easy the diet is to follow, how nutritious it is, and how effectively it prevents diabetes and heart disease. Nutritional sciences major at the University of Oklahoma, Lindsay Malbeck, doesn't believe the paleo diet is balanced enough.
People think that carbs hurt us when in reality they are a huge part of our diet. About 40 to 65% of our diet is carbohydrates and we need them.
And she says cutting out an entire food group can be extremely harmful to our bodies.
A lot of the foods that you're not eating have lots of vitamins that we need. You can get lots of heart problems from that. Yeah, you may be losing weight, but you're also losing a lot of muscle and, yeah, vitamin deficiency, big one.
But Jo Ellen Giddish, a certified nutritionist working in the field since 1987, says the paleo diet is not the same as other fad diets, and she suggests the diet as a lifestyle change to her clients.
If you were to look at all diets right now, and for some reason we always feel like we have to have some new fad diet that comes into town. I like the concept of it mostly. I feel that we are definitely, as a society, at least in America, we eat way too many processed carbohydrates, and including, you know, white flour products, sugar products, and it's a major contributor to a lot of inflammation, which is, you know, kind of the root of disease for people.
The latest dietary guidelines for Americans from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services says that refined grains such as white flour have to have extra nutrients put into them to make them nutritious enough to eat. It also states that eating these refined grains is like eating the added sugars and solid fats in cookies, cakes, and donuts. Even though Giddish suggests the changes recommended in the paleo diet to avoid these vitamin deficiencies, she says that everyone's body is different.
I think we are all biochemically unique, and you have to work with that individual. I am a strong believer in staying away from, you know, processed carbohydrates, things like that. And I some people can even digest legumes, like they've got a really strong digestive tract, and they can handle that in moderation. I'm also not a big proponent of dairy. Most of my clients, I do take off dairy products.
In fact, the dairy cut suggested in the paleo diet is more natural than you'd think.
We are human beings, and I don't really believe that milk is, you know, it's got a lot of junk in it, and the way it's processed, and how the cows are fed, and all that. So I also just, you know, I remember seeing so many children who had constant ear infections, or people that have so much mucus and bloating and gas and clearing their throat and sinus congestion. And so often when I take them off of dairy products, that all clears.
Giddish suggests doing an 80-20 paleo where you can eat the whole grains and even dairy 20% of the time. So you're getting your B vitamins and fibers you need from grains. Every lifestyle change has its drawbacks, but Emily Groff figures if it feels good, do it.
I mean, I feel great. I go to bed. I've never slept better. I go to bed at night and I don't wake up until the morning. When I work out, I love to run and it's helped running so much. I went off all my acne medications because I'm not eating foods that like inflame my skin. And so I feel great. I feel more energized.
For Assignment Radio, I'm Haley Thornton.
More than 6 million higher education students take at least one course online, according to a 2011 study by the Babson Survey Research Group. At the University of Oklahoma, approximately 3,000 students take advantage of the college's current online options. Assignment Radio's Molly Evans spoke with an English major and leaders of OU's digital initiatives about incorporating online learning into the traditional college experience.
A sea of more than 30,000 students floods the University of Oklahoma's campuses each year. Those students have the option to choose among hundreds of classes taught by more than 2,600 full-time faculty members housed in 21 colleges. But when Victoria Heath, a 22-year-old English and Women and Gender Studies junior, had to take all of her OU courses online last semester, she was navigating uncharted waters.
I felt isolated, I mean, obviously, because just not being in the campus environment anymore that I was in for almost, 3 years previous. So, I mean, it was a struggle to see everybody going to class, having, these intimate kind of experiences in the classroom with professors, with peers, and then me just kind of looking at a screen all the time.
Heath suffered a debilitating ankle injury in reconstructive surgery, which prevented her from attending her classes on campus, so she enrolled in all online courses during the fall 2013 semester.
I was, incapacitated for so long, and I had so many other things to do, so much healing to do, that I think it made me maybe feel more positive that that was just an option.
Heath took 15 credit hours to maintain full-time student status through OU's Center for Independent and Distance Learning.
I mean, I felt kind of like I was taking a step out of, the college experience even, which sounds weird. Because, it was beneficial, and I liked it, and I appreciated that option. But at the same time, it felt like I wasn't progressing as everybody else was. Like, I wasn't experiencing it the same way, or maybe even, a correct way.
Although the online environment was isolating for Heath, she was not as alone as she felt. CIDL Director Randy Dorneman says about 2,500 students enroll in online courses each year, most being traditional OU students, but the center also serves students with military contracts, participants in foreign exchange programs, and adults in the business world.
The 18 to 22-year-old group is kind of expected to be on campus here for those 4 years, and the reality really is some of them aren't or can't be, because they run into life situations that will take them away from the campus. To hopefully stay connected to those students, an online option provides that opportunity.
The CIDL has been providing online courses for students beyond OU's campus since Dorneman started 10 years ago. The center offers select courses in various fields and even a few bachelor's and master's degree programs. Last semester, OU established another online educational option called Janix. OU Senior Vice Provost and Janix leader Kyle Harper says it incorporates digital technology in two formats, one a paid admission course for credit and the other a free course open to anyone interested.
Only really in the last few years have people in a large scale started to say, in a big way, let's figure out what new technologies we can develop that lets online learning be powerful in its own way and recognize that it's not the same as more traditional classrooms just moved into an online space. And so I think there's been a lot of change in the last few years, and I think we're going to see even more change over the next 5 to 10 years.
About 500 students took courses through Janix in the fall 2013 semester. And overall, approximately 10% of OU students are choosing the online option, available through Janix or the Center for Independent and Distance Learning. While Harper expects online learning to grow, it will not change the university's distinction as what he calls a place-based institution.
Online will never displace that from being just our primary identity. But at the same time, online learning and technology more broadly has to be a part of your culture and your portfolio. If you want to help your students succeed, you need those options. For some of our non-traditional students and for some of the fully online programs that we offer and will be offering that are maybe outside of our traditional bachelor's degree student population, there really is an important role for that.
Randy Dorneman agrees, and he hopes OU will make even more classes available for a broader range of majors and degree programs.
We just need to be flexible in providing some options so the students can choose what works for them.
Victoria Heath, now fully recovered from her surgery, is glad to be back on campus, raising her hand, engaging in discussion, and walking slowly but surely to Gittinger Hall. And she's grateful to have had the option to learn through the web last semester, and plans to take more online courses this summer to graduate by 2016.
There are things I really loved about being online, and there are things that I really love being back in the classroom. But I honestly don't think I have like an opinion on which is better or not. Technically, I think in class is better just because that's my option right now if I want to advance in my courses.
For Assignment Radio, I'm Molly Evans.
You've been listening to Assignment Radio. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of KGOU, its staff, or the University of Oklahoma. You can find more information about this program and these stories, and leave your comments and feedback on our website, kgou.org. I'm Haley Thornton, and thanks for listening to KGOU.